This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now is the guy who was just talking about the greatness of Brian Broaddus. How you doing, Mr. Broaddus?
Thanks for doing that for us, Benny. We appreciate that. Doing great.
Man, that is one of the coolest things that happens in local media, the chance to go behind the scenes and get all of that insight and for all of us to benefit from those hours you guys pour into this thing. And as we're starting to get a little bit closer, are you guys completely finished at this point? Is there still a lot more work to go? Where are you guys in your research?
No, I'll tell you what, man. They give us 30 more days to do this, and it'll probably be right up until the final bell until you put this thing to bed. But, I'm down into the point now of looking at, like, the seventh-round guys, maybe some priority free agents, guys that might show up at the end of the draft, with the traits that teams look for. You just want to be able to, with our draft coverage on DallasCowboys.com and in a 105.3, we're just so interested in being able to talk about every single player that's picked, no matter whether it's for the Dallas Cowboys or any of the other teams. I mean, just take a lot of pride in that work. It's a complete deal. So you've got to be able to talk about those guys with just not something you read out of a book. You have to be able to put your own eyes on them, and I think that's what our guys really do a great job of around here.
Is there a particular position group that you think really is beneficial for the Cowboys' draft plans? In other words, sometimes they go, all right, we got to take this position here because we're really going to be in good shape in the third round here. Is there a particular position group that really fits what the Cowboys want to do with their draft?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Skinny. I think the thing is that, to me, you know, Jerry Jones was talking about the running back situation yesterday from Arizona, and you know whether they address it during the draft or after the draft. But I kind of feel like, though, you know, with those compensatory fours that they have, you know, a late three, a couple of compensatory, their own four and a compensatory four, you know, right there could be a sweet spot. I know you know KT's probably doing a segment or two talking about the various positions that have got some stretch and depth to them. And I kind of feel like that the running back spot is one of those. That's one of those positions when you start mock drafting to the Cowboys, it's pretty easy to do. And every time you do it, you're kind of like going, oh, wow, that running back's there. So I kind of feel like that's a position that everybody in this organization is going to kind of focus in on. And, you know, Jerry was talking about a guy that, you know, has some of those complete back traits. You know, they know they don't want to take Zeke off the field very much, but you know, maybe they could find a guy that can not only do the heavy lifting, running the football, but make sure that blitz pickups there and solid and catching the football is even better. So, but that, I think the running back spot offers that kind of a depth for a team looking to add that player.
So outside of quarterback, we could argue about the most important position, but a lot of folks will say that it's edge rush. And right now there's a lot of question marks about who's going to come off the edge for the Cowboys. Is it D-Law? Is Robert Quinn still in the mix? And
sure.
So a guy like yourself who could be preparing for the draft, you guys have done, the Cowboys have had so many great signings to take care of so many areas of need, but you just don't know what you have on your defensive line. So as of right now, if nothing changes, what is your approach going into the draft in terms of your biggest need?
Well, you know, you got to look at that, again, the defensive line part of it, I think, is very evident there to me. And, you know, the reason why they're in on this Robert Quinn thing is because they feel it's important enough. And, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth about the DeMarcus Lawrence situation. And, you know, we got a little bit of clarity from Jerry Jones about, you know, how important the health is. And, you know, the first year of a contract, how much you guarantee money. And, you know, you have to be healthy for that. And you can't miss time and all. And so, you know, it's really, really important. And, you know, I feel like, though, they're trying to protect themselves the best they can with this Robert Quinn stuff. If, you know, in fact, that they can get that done and they can't get something done long term with Tank, and, you know, he comes in and says, okay, I'm going to sign this tender on July 15th. And then the next thing you know, you don't have him until October 15th. Well, that's a lot of games right there that you're going to miss. So they've got to find a way to protect themselves. Hopefully they can get the Quinn thing done. You know, at 58, I think that they're going to probably, if it turns into a defensive lineman, I really think that they're looking hard at a guy like Zach Allen from Boston College. You know, I know that Rod Marinelli and Leon Lett spent a lot of time with him, you know, at the combine, visit with him. I guarantee he's going to be one of the 30 visit guys. It's probably not the most sexy sounding pick for them right now to take another defensive end, but, you know, a guy that could play the left side or the right side, you know, depending on what you want him to do. He could also give you a little bit of rush inside from the middle of the pocket, you know, that he was able to do at the Senior Bowl. So this is, you know, defensive line's a position that they could definitely go back to back on. You know, they could even look at a defensive tackle there. Coach Marinelli was in Miami here the last couple of days working out Gerald Willis. You know, KT can give you a nice little scouting report about him from the University of Miami. So there's some kids that they like. This Kinsley Kiki from Texas A&M is another guy. So, yeah, I feel like that there's names there. Will it be the most ideal name? You know, yeah, I think that that probably will be a little bit of a stretch, but at least there's some guys there that fit the bill for what they're trying to do scheme-wise.
It feels like after the Iloka signing, you still, you know, might be interested in some of those safeties, but a lot of those safeties, they're probably going to go. The ones that you would really, really want would probably go before you're up at 58.
Yeah.
I was looking at some future contracts, and I was like, wow, the Anthony Brown deal times up with the Byron Jones deal.
Sure.
So there'd be free agents in 2020. And I was sitting there going, well, maybe they need to restock at cornerback a little bit. Are you getting that vibe at all? Maybe take a look at these cornerbacks,
yeah,
a little closer?
Absolutely. And by the way, the Georgia Loka signing to me is more of an indictment on Kayvon Frazier than it is anything of trying to replace Jeff Heath. I think if Kayvon Frazier, and I really like Kayvon Frazier. I think he's a wonderful human being. But they need Kayvon Frazier to play better. You know, they need him to do more things. And I think that, you know, everybody's out there is pointing at, oh, they've got to replace Jeff Heath. Well, if Kayvon Frazier had played better, you know, throughout his career here, his short career, I think then you wouldn't see them signing George Aloka or talking about safeties at possibly at 58 or anything like that. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're looking at that group. But Stephen Jones, KT, told us at this combine, if you remember, that cornerback is kind of a sneaky need for them, you know, and I'm kind of hearing some whispers about some guys. Chris Richard went out and had some a workout and some dinner with Juwan Williams from Vanderbilt, a big, tall corner, kind of fits the bill of what they're trying to do. So, you know, at 58, well, let's see if they go that route, you know, maybe in the third round. We'll see. I think he'll probably, if you wanted to take him, you'd probably have to take him at 58. So, yeah, corner's a sneaky need for them, and, you know, it's a position that's got a little depth to it as well. Guys that kind of fit that the mold that they're looking at are guys like Isaiah Johnson from Houston, those tall, rangy guys. Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky is another one. Tall, long, rangy type of guy. So I'm sure when the 30 visits start in the 1st of April, maybe some of those guys will be on that list.
Brian Broaddus joining us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So kind of having some fun with this because we played the Jerry clip earlier from the owners' meeting where he was talking about Witten being pretty much out there all the time once again, and we were having a laugh about it. But I am curious, how did you feel about the development of Blake Jarwin? Do you think he's a player?
Yeah, I think with Blake Jarwin, you know, I with all these guys, and I give Jason Garrett some credit. I usually kick him in the you-know-what a lot. But I give him credit. You know, he when they had the injury to Jeff Swaim, you know, he kind of, in a walk-off situation with all the reporters, the ones that choose to listen during that time, he said that, you know, hey, you know, these young guys have just got to play. I mean, there's, you know, we're not going to sit here and put our heads in the sand and say, oh, God, poor us, we got to go get Witten and all that. You know, he's saying, let's see these young guys play. And I think, you know, if you look at some of the development of what guys like Jarwin, Schultz, you know, those guys got better as the year wore on. And Garrett was right. The more practice time they got, the more opportunities they got. You know, Doug Nussmeier started fighting a little bit harder for, you know, hey, let's get the tight ends more involved in the passing game. You know, we saw what Jarwin was able to do, you know, in the Giants game. I think that's a kind of where we're at with him. You know, he's very capable of being that guy. But, you know, I think we all knew that, you know, the reports were, oh, Witten's going to take a reduced role and all that. And we knew it was a bunch of BS. Witten's not coming off the field, you know, and you're going to go have to drag him off the field if that's the case. And that's why everybody respects Jason Witten so much. But, yeah, I feel like it's still a position that they need to look at. And, again, KT will tell you that this is a pretty good group of tight ends. Jason Witten even reminded me the first time I saw him when he came back in the building, hey, brought us pretty deep group of tight ends, right? And I'm like, absolutely. So he knows the drill, and, you know, he's going to do the best he can. But to your point or your question there, Skin, I think that Jarwin, what we saw of him at the end of the season is that he's a very capable player of getting down the field, and he can secure the football and make something happen after catch when he gets that opportunity. So, that part of it, I think, is a very, very good thing.
So I was talking about, obviously, the big Draft 101 event we have Thursday, April 18th.
Well, thank you again for that.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to turn right around. We're going to get you about 50 carries that week, Broadus, because we have a major announcement that you are teaming up with us in Shell Shack, cooking the crawfish at Mudbug Bash in 2019. And that's a big deal. That's Saturday, April 20th at Levitt Pavilion in Arlington. You can go 1053thefan.com/mudbug. Leighton Vander Esch is going to be there. What is your crawfish strategy for this bad boy?
You know, I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to do my very best to make everybody's nose run and eyes water a little bit, you know. And if I see you kind of struggling with that, and I see you trying to hold your beer cups with your wrists to get them to your mouth, you know, that means you've got so much crawfish juice and stuff on your fingers, you don't want to touch your beer cups. Well, then, you know, I've done my job there. But I appreciate the folks at the station allowing me to be a part of that. I appreciate the folks at the Shell Shack. You know, I'm looking forward to kind of hanging out with them and talking techniques and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun to cook crawfish for me. It's something that I look forward to, you know, every spring. And, you know, I've tried so hard. I mean, I've got to the point where I'm now I YouTube everything about it, just trying to find different techniques. Do I want to steam them this time? Do I want to, you know, I want to use a different spice? Do I want to use this type of, do I want to make my onions more like a margarita mix and kind of get the liquid into the shells, penetrate the shells? So there's all kinds of things that I work on, and I love cooking them, and I appreciate the station letting me do that.
Great stuff, Broadus. We appreciate it, man. Always look forward to having you on, and look forward to the next time.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
There he goes, Brian Broadus, at Brian Broadus on the Twitters, at DallasCowboys.com. You can read a lot of his stuff and on the station as well.
Remember about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the great name Jowan?
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy he said. He just mentioned that Rashard worked out with.
Oh, is that right?
Jowan Williams.
Okay.
Not Jowan.
Jowan.
In one name,
yeah,
with two,
it's not like
uppercase J's.
It's not like Juan Jose Barea. It's Jowan.
Jowan.
I listen to him talk about corner being a sneaky need, and I can't help but think about Jordan Lewis. Yeah. And I'm like, man, this sucks. You know, Jordan Lewis just doesn't fit what Rashard does because Rashard likes bigger corners.
Trade him.
But he wasn't here when they drafted Jordan Lewis.
Right.
So now you're in a situation where you're about to let some coaches who could be on their way out influence these draft picks. Because if do you really want Garrett picking his kind of guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Marinelli still around? If Garrett gets rolled, I don't know. And so, how much influence should coaches have?
None
in a draft when they're kind of dead coaches walking, unless they win.
No, you should let the scouts do it.
But Rashard might be your future head coach.
No, I know, but I'm just saying in general, you let the front office do it.
That's
my belief.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.